The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Got your Bible today? I want you to open up 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 3. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversy rather than God's work, which is by faith. Now, the goal of this command is what? What did he say it is? Love. Love is always the goal. With God, love is always the goal. Love is always the goal with God. Love, which comes from, catch this, don't let it slip past you, a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Those are three ingredients, you might say. A pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. So he says, focus on these things. He said, because there are people among you that want to come in there and just teach myths. Let me tell you about your Bible. It was originally in Greek. They translated it to English, and they translated the word myth, and it's really close to the Greek. It's the word mythos. Sounds like myths. And here's what it literally means. It means stories of the people. You say, what's a myth? A myth is something that's been told from one person to another person to another person to another person until it's accepted as an absolute truth, even though it may not be. If enough people went around saying the moon was made out of cheese, said it for a long enough period of time, people would begin to believe it. And then they would share that, and they would begin to believe it, and they would share that and begin to believe it. And they'd all be very sincere about what they believe, but how many of you know they'd be sincerely wrong? What got them off track? The fact that they started believing what others have been saying without, you could say it this way, this is pretty popular in our time, fact-checking it. Let's fact-check what we believe. Let's see if what we believe is based on what God says. Because God's never wrong. Amen? So here these teachers were teaching out of myths, just what they had heard, what they thought was the truth. He said, here's what I'm telling you. He said, I'm giving this instruction, and the goal of this instruction is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Now look over to the 18th verse, 1 Timothy 1:18. He said, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by following them, those prophecies, you may fight the good fight. How many of you ever heard fight the good fight of faith? What is the good fight of faith? Well, you got to fight the devil. No, wrong. The devil's already defeated. Jesus already defeated the devil. You don't have to fight the devil. You just got to enforce the victory Jesus already won. Simple as that. You say, well, how do I do that? By fighting the good fight of faith. So I thought I didn't have to fight the devil. You're not fighting the devil. Get that out of your mind. If you walk in faith, the devil's got nothing to throw at you that can succeed. If you walk in faith with a pure heart, a good conscience, and your faith is sincere, Jesus himself said that those who are born again, the enemy cannot touch them. Say, all right, cool, the enemy can't touch me. Right, as long as you've got a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. You know, how many of you came here in a car today, a vehicle with a windshield? That windshield's there to protect us. And God's given us some spiritual protection. His spiritual protection is keep your heart pure and keep a good conscience and be sincere in your faith. You see, well, God wants me to do everything right. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think you're capable. I don't think you're capable of perfection in every action that you're going to do through the rest of your life. I think you're probably going to make some mistakes. And God's already provided grace to make up for that. All you got to do is when you realize I've made a mistake, I don't know what I was thinking. But you say, God, forgive me. What happens? He says, if you confess that you've done wrong, you've sinned, he'll cleanse you and forgive you. Okay, cool. Move on. So God wants us to keep that conscience clear and that heart pure. And our faith needs to be sincere faith. The only way that I could really honestly get in trouble in my life is if I turn loose of those things. If I keep my heart right and pure with God and my conscience clean, that involves people too. But then I keep my faith sincere. In other words, I'm loving God for the right reasons. I'm studying the Word of God for the right reasons, to know God better, to be more like the one He wants me to be like. Because the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, I ain't going to renew it watching television. So Paul's writing to Timothy about these things, and he goes, I'm telling you, I give you these instructions in keeping with prophecies made about you, that by following them, you fight the good fight of faith, laying hold, holding on to faith and a good conscience. See, he phrased it a little differently over here. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. Hold on to those things. Faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. Pure heart. Clear conscience. Sincere faith. Hold on to faith. Hold on to a good conscience. You think he's warning him? I'm like, yeah, he's warning him. He told him that twice already. And then look what he says. He says some, meaning some people. He goes, some people have rejected these. And what happened to their faith? What's Paul warning Timothy about? He says, don't shipwreck your faith. Well, I didn't know my faith could be shipwrecked. Well, now you do. You need to watch out. You know when shipwrecks happen? The only time that a shipwreck can happen is this. Either the ship is off course and no one's really paying attention to the direction. It's careless living. It's like you're not paying attention to what's really going on. And then the second way that ships get in wreck is they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, you think about it. You could be out in the ocean in the ship and it's fine. Sun's shining and everything's cool. And the waves are lapping gently against the ship. You know, next day there's a hurricane. You don't want to be in that same spot. It's about timing and direction. Amen? Today's valuable lesson, avoiding shipwreck in your faith. And Paul's already told Timothy the basics of how to do it, but we want to walk it out. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 11:25 that in the course of his ministry, Paul was shipwrecked 3 different times. I mean, when it comes to shipwrecks, Paul knows about shipwrecks. And he's talking about the natural, what you think of when I say shipwreck. But he translates that experience of being shipwrecked over to the spiritual side of life, and he tells Timothy, he goes, listen, by some people not holding on to a good conscience and holding on to faith, they shipwrecked themselves. And he's warning Timothy, he goes, don't do that. Don't allow that to happen in your life. If you don't guard against it, it might happen. You have got to be active in guarding against shipwreck in your faith. You've got to maintain your faith. Faith is a gift from God. How many of you know that we're not saved by works? We're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 tells us we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. You say, well, it's a gift. I don't have to do nothing. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God gives you the free gift of grace and salvation through Jesus Christ, and he expects you to take that gift and live it out. Amen? And Paul's writing to Timothy. He goes, listen, he goes, you need to teach these other people not to teach us garbage they're teaching. It's a bunch of man-made philosophies and myths and this and that and the other. And he goes, you know what you need to be telling them about? Keeping a pure heart and a clean conscience and having sincere faith. And then he tells Timothy personally, hold on to your faith and hold on to a good conscience. Hold on to those things. Cling to them. Because some people haven't. Let me say it this way. Some people didn't value having a clear conscience. Some people didn't value faith. And because they didn't value it, it slipped away from them. And they shipwrecked themselves. And he's warning them, don't let that happen to you. Now, Paul's experiences with shipwrecks happen in numerous places in the Word. But I want to look at one in particular in Acts 27. So let's turn there. Acts 27. And we'll just pick it up in verse 9. I'll tell you what was going on a little bit. There toward the end of his ministry, and he had been preaching the Word in Ephesus and here and there. And the Holy Spirit had drawn him. He said, you need to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Paul just really felt compelled. So he starts heading that direction. And every city he goes into, the Holy Spirit warns him that ahead of you are awaiting chains and persecution. If the Holy Spirit was telling him that bad stuff was ahead, why would he keep going? Because it was his purpose. It was his destiny. God needed to use him there. And he wasn't afraid to let God have his way. And the Holy Spirit wasn't trying to turn him away from going. So the Holy Spirit was revealing to Paul what was coming so he wouldn't get sucker punched. That's what's going on. But yet Paul made up his mind, I'm going to be the man God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And even though chains of persecution await me, my mind is made up. I'm going to go where God wants me to go. And so he's headed that way. And guess what? When he gets to Jerusalem, he's there. And all of a sudden, they accuse him of bringing Gentiles into the temple. And man, they arrest him. And they have this kangaroo kind of a trial. And they're all fighting over him and this and that, about to tear him apart. And Paul appeals. He goes, I'm a Roman citizen. What? You're a Roman citizen. We got to send this guy to Rome. So they find a ship to get ready to send him on, and that's where we pick up our story. Verse 9 of chapter 27 of the book of Acts. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the fast, talking about Yom Kippur. That means it was hurricane season. Look at this, latter part of verse 9. So Paul warned them. How many know Paul is a man of God? Paul, speaking as a man of God, has wisdom of God. Now, Paul's not an expert sailor, but what he is a wise person who has God's counsel. And here's what Paul said. He warned them. He said, men, verse 10, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. That's a pretty stern warning. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship, the experts, in other words. And since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. There was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. And when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a nor'easter swept down from the island. Let's stop there. I want you to look up. I want to talk about a couple things. So today's teaching is this: how to avoid shipwrecking your faith, right? One of the greatest ways to learn how to avoid something is to learn how to not avoid it. In other words, how to make it happen. So how would I purposely shipwreck myself? Let's find out, because these guys purposely going to shipwreck themselves. Let's see what they did. You might look at your Bible again and look at some of these verses. And I said this earlier, but shipwrecks only happen when you're either off course or your timing is wrong. Now, the scripture that we looked at earlier in 1 Timothy 1:19 says some of the people deliberately violated their conscience and shipwrecked their faith. It was deliberate. Shipwreck's not something that's going to happen to you. Just, man, you're doing the best you can, you're doing all these things right, and all of a sudden, boom, you just got shipwrecked. That's not going to happen to you in your faith. But shipwreck happens when people don't do the things they should do, and they do things they shouldn't. Let's look at what they do. Step one, here's what I'm going to say. To guarantee that you get in a shipwreck, here's the first step. Deliberately and willfully violate your own conscience. You do that, you got a dead reckoning course headed for shipwreck. If you want your faith to fall apart and your life to get horrible, here's step one, don't miss it. Deliberately and willfully violate your own conscience. That's how you do it. That's step one. I mean, no, I don't want to do that.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And we'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
I don't want to get shipwrecked, so what do? I avoid violating my own conscience. I'm going to look at it from both sides of the coin today. Maybe I'll learn something. Hallelujah. So let's read again there, Acts 27, verse 9. Let's read it again here. Just much time had been lost. Sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the fast. So is the timing good or bad? Timing's bad here. This is a bad choice. Bad timing. Simply because it's not the right time. It's not because it's a bad thing. It's because it's not a right now thing. Somebody's looking at this, well, this is a God thing right here. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I got this good business opportunity for you. Well, maybe it is a good business opportunity, but I need to pray about it because it might not be a God business opportunity. Do you understand? Timing is everything. And is it God's will for me to do this? That's everything. You say, well, how could I possibly know such things as that? Because you've been given a compass on the inside of you. You've been given a God-given conscience. Your conscience is your spirit within you that the Holy Spirit communicates with. And see, here's the wonderful thing about having the Holy Spirit as your counselor and comforter and guide. He knows everything. He even knows what's coming in the future. And you don't. You know, you just be along for the ride. Do what he tells you, when he tells you, how he tells you. You won't ever go wrong. You say, well, that's so simple. Is it really? Then how come so many people aren't doing it? Oh, I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about the church. How come so many people who call themselves Christians don't live like they're Christians? Because they've become shipwrecked. I don't want you to be shipwrecked. Shipwrecks aren't good. Shipwrecks result in the loss of valuable cargo. Your destiny from God is to arrive at heaven's gate with your cargo still intact. All the fruit of your life still intact. Growing, prospering, beloved above all things, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. 3 John verse 2, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The only way you're arriving with your cargo intact is if your soul is intact. And if you shipwreck your faith, it ain't going to be intact. So I've been pastoring this church now for over 25 years, been in the ministry for longer than that, and I have never seen anyone shipwreck their life by doing things God's way. I don't even reminisce on the thought of how many people I've watched come and seem to really, you know, hey, and then I can't find you anymore. I think your ship sank. Now, the good news is God is the salvager. He can go to the bottom of the deepest, darkest ocean and salvage someone's ship if they'll cooperate. But it's not God's will for us to be sunk in treasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Just for fun, look at somebody and say, don't be a pirate's booty. I'm not going to credit that to the Holy Spirit, but I never thought that before a second ago. Not God's will for you to be a sunken treasure. It's God's will for you to take the treasures in your life, the godly things in your life, and arrive at your destination with them all intact, your faith intact, growing, flourishing, being an example for other people to look at. And I'm talking about a good example. I don't care what storm comes their way. They're like, they plow through that thing, man. Like an icebreaker ship, you know? You know the difference between a Titanic and an icebreaker ship? The Titanic is a big lumbering pleasure vessel. All about pleasure. And an icebreaker ship has a thick hull built strong for a purpose. They both hit the same iceberg, vastly different results. If you live for pleasure only, you might be more like the Titanic than the icebreaker. And in this life, there are plenty of icebergs. So don't shipwreck your faith. How am I going to keep from it? I'm going to keep a pure heart, a clean conscience, and I'm going to be sincere in my faith with God. How do I avoid shipwreck? Well, I learned by people who don't avoid it. And these people in this story, not going to avoid it. So let's see what else they do that we don't want to do. He warned them in verse 9. Paul warned them. Verse 10, men, I can see that the voyage is going to be disastrous, bring great loss to ship, to cargo. Verse 11, but the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. So let me just tell you another thing. You want to wind up shipwrecked? Here's the deal. Ignore godly wisdom. Just ignore it. Don't worry about what God says. After all, who knows more about piloting the ship, man of God or the pilot of the ship? How many of you know the answer to that? The man of God. What? Well, the ship pilot, he's got 30 years of experience. What's he relying on? His own understanding. How many of you know that the Bible tells you explicitly in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because in your own understanding, you can't see what the future brings, but God can. So trust your spirit, not your head. Here, what are they leaning on? Their own understanding. Paul speaks by the wisdom of God and says, this voyage will end in disaster. Loss of great cargo and maybe even loss of our own lives. And what'd they do with that godly counsel? We don't listen to him anyway. Why? Because he said we could leave in the morning. Here's a big reason why a lot of people won't hear godly counsel. Here's why they won't. Because they don't agree with their plans. You know, Lord says, don't start that relationship yet. But I want to. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, get ready for the heartache. Lord says, back off from that. You don't. Well, get ready for the heartache. I'm telling you, You've got to keep your plans surrendered to the plans of God to be able to give heed and listen to the godly counsel. I'm not saying that every time some person who is a person of God says something to you, you ought to just take it like it's God talking. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying they ought to have listened to Paul, and at the very, very least, they should have said, well, let's stop and pray about this before we make a decision. But they didn't even listen to him. They just immediately went, that don't fit our plans. Let's go with the pilots. He's the expert. Follow the expert. Follow the science. Really? Did science create you? No, God created you. He knows better. So if you don't want to be shipwrecked, by all means, do not ignore godly wisdom and counsel, but value it. Value what God says. Okay, so here's another thing they did wrong. Next thing they did wrong. So they listened to the experts instead of godly counsel. And then watch this in the 12th verse. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided. Did you catch that when I read it the first time? The majority decided. You ought to underline. The majority decided that we should sail on. The majority. Don't ever let the herd decide what's good for you. Listen to the shepherd. Not the flock or the herd. Listen to the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Here's my second point. You want to really get in a shipwreck? Number one was ignore godly wisdom and counsel. And number two is make your decisions based on popular opinion. Ask everybody what they think. Let them vote on what you decide to do. And I will guarantee you, you'll wind up shipwrecked. Okay? And then the third one I've already touched on. Instead of listening to the counsel of God, and instead of seeking God, they went with the majority. They voted on it, in other words. Then the third thing they did was, in verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and set out. They walked in their own understanding. So three things. If you want to get shipwrecked, do these three things, and I promise you, you will wind up shipwrecked. Ignore godly wisdom and counsel. Make decisions based on popular opinion and rather than God's will. And then walk in your own understanding. If it seems right to you, go for it. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will get shipwrecked. It's absolutely ironclad guaranteed. So I don't get shipwrecked. Exactly. So you're going to value godly counsel. Even if the pilot's over here telling you about all his experience, you're going to go, I don't care. That's irrelevant. The science says this, whatever. God says this, I'll take God. Amen? Trust in the Lord. And you're not going to lean on your own understanding. If you'll do those things, you're going to be good. So let's look again at verse 14. We'll go just a little bit further, and I'll put a bow on this for you. So before long, a wind of hurricane force called a nor'easter swept down the island, and the ship was caught by the storm. It could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it, and we were driven along. Here's a principle for you. When you make some bad decisions, you're going to create circumstances bigger than you are. When you violate your own conscience, you disregard godly wisdom, you make decisions based on majority opinion, when you do all those dumb things, you're going to create a situation that's going to be bigger than you. And you're going to have to ride out the storm. So I didn't create the storm. No, you didn't create the storm, but you got yourself in it. When you could have been in the safe harbor of godly wisdom. So here they are. They've made their bad decisions. They've disregarded the wise counsel of God. They've walked in their own understanding. They've all that stuff. And now here they are caught up in a storm, and they're caught up in it, and they're just literally being driven along. They go where the circumstances dictate. Do you hear me? Once you're caught up in the storm, you're going to wind up where the circumstances dictate to you. Because that storm is too big for you to be able to course correct at that moment and head into the wind. That's what they're caught up, and they're just pulled along. And it says, okay, so we gave way to it. You know what a lot of people are doing in their life right now? They've created the perfect storm in their life through those bad decisions that we were talking about. And now all that they've done is they've just resigned themselves. They've just resigned themselves. They don't even try anymore. They don't even try to have the life that God wants them to have. They feel like they've blown it. I've blown it. I messed it up. This is what it is now. This is what it is, what it is. Get used to it. No. And it says now in the next verse, as we passed to the lee side of a small island called Kada, that means the downwind side, we're hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. And when the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Can I ask you a question today? Are you living in God's will, enjoying His blessing, or are you just trying to hold it together? It's not God's will for you to have to rope your life together to try to hang on while you're being driven along by a storm that's bigger than you are. That's not God's will. It's not God's will. Let's read on a little bit more. They passed ropes under the ship to hold it together, fearing that they'd run aground on some sandbars of Sirtis. They lowered the ship anchor and let the ship be driven along. They just went with the flow, in other words. What happened as they're going with the flow? The next verse tells us in verse 18 there. We took such a violent battering from the stern, the next day we began to throw the cargo overboard. How many of you have been there and done that? You're so beat up by the life that's been created by you ignoring godly counsel, by you operating by public opinion, by you leaning on your own understanding, you create such a stinking rotten mess in your life that you're just literally, you feel hopeless, you feel pulled along, you're trying to hold it together, and you're taking a beating. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I couldn't fix it. I could have prevented it if I would have listened to start with, but I didn't. So now what? Just hopeless. Well, maybe not. Because there is one who walks on water in storms. And his name is Jesus. And he loves you so much. Whether the storm is your own, you know, you didn't have to get in the middle of it, or whether he sent you there, he's with you either way. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you today for your word that never fails or falls to the ground, but always accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, we believe today your word will not return to you empty. It'll accomplish what you purpose for it. And today I know, Lord God, that the purpose of this word is for all of our safety and our well-being. See, I'm on course with God. Why did you have to hear this today? Because you've got to stay on course for God. And you do it on purpose. And maybe there's someone today, they're listening to me and say, you know what? I'm not really on course with God. I'm just not. Well, today is the day for your course correction. The Bible calls course correction repentance. And it's a real simple word. It means to turn around. It's to turn away from that which God has not sanctioned and ordained. It's not God's way of doing things. More important than that even, it's to turn away from sin and to turn to the Lord God himself. Maybe you're listening to me today and say, you know, I know I had a divine appointment to hear this today because, man, my life has been feeling like I've been in the middle of that storm. I mean, I've done everything I know how to do. When it said we'd give up all hope and just went with it, I felt he was talking about me. Well, if I was talking about you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. Today you say, that's me. That's me. Don't condemn yourself. This is not about condemnation. This is about correction. The Bible says God corrects those he loves. He says, my beloved child, I'd never intended for you to live life holding on, desperate, feeling hopeless. Let me restore hope to you today. Will you correct your course? Will you admit that you went your own way and ask God for forgiveness? If you say, I need to do that, would you respond? Even if you're listening on Truth Broadcast, you say, that's me. Just respond. Would you raise your hand? Say, well, you can't see it. That's okay. God can. He knows every little tiny thing about you, and he loves you. I'm about to pray a course-correcting prayer. If you need to course-correct today, I want you to pray this with me. Will you do it? Say, Heavenly Father, come before you today to receive grace, to receive forgiveness and mercy through Jesus Christ, my Savior. I need to be saved from bad decisions. I need to be saved from things that are not your will, not your way. I confess, I've not always done what you wanted me to do. I tried to do it my way. It failed. I'm sorry. Forgive me and take me back. I need you, Father. I need you, Holy Spirit of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to the Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.